Let's talk to our experts about this whole story. David Bahnsen, who's the founder and managing partner of the Bahnsen Group, and he's the author of There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths. And he puts out the dividendcafe.com every day. And John Carney, Breitbart news editor, economics and finance, and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest. Welcome, gentlemen. David Bahnsen, my brother, bless your heart for what you did at the Buckley dinner. Bless your heart for that. I will never forget it. Never, never, never. Anyway, David, let me start with you. The market looks bad. What's your thinking about it? How long do you think this decline is going to last? What are the underpinnings of the market look like? How do you see things right now?
Well, I think that it's the obvious first that there isn't anything that is going real well in markets. It's bonds and stocks. Three quarters in a row of stocks and bonds being negative, and that's just so unbelievably rare. Even in periods where you have multiple quarters of the stock market being down, for bonds, which are historically more reverse correlated, to be down as well, it makes it very tough for asset allocators. You know, people are trying to do the right thing and diversify, and what's going on one side is going down, and what's going on the other side is going down. But Larry, here's the thing I'd say. The beginning of the year, all the way through, let's say the summer, it was the stuff that deserved to go down getting hit the most. Overpriced tech, a lot of the COVID hot stuff, your crypto stuff, you know, more frothy speculation. What happened, and it wasn't third quarter, it was just the last few weeks. Just the last few weeks, value got hit, dividends got hit, energy got hit. So the winners of the year finally caught up. And that's generally what you see in later innings of a bear market, that the good stuff goes down with the bad stuff. So I don't know if we're 1 week away or 6 months away. We're 9 months in. The average bear market, and we've had 13 of them since World War II, the average is a year. And we're about, you know, three quarters of the way there on the average. So this is there's a lot of repricing that had to take place. But that dollar will have to come down and the bond yields will have to come down before stocks can really start to breathe a little.
Yeah. Interesting point on the rates. Your 10-year note is up to 383, up 14 basis points for the week. Of course, the 3-month T-bill, which is tracking the Fed funds rate, 3.25. It is interesting. The curve is badly inverted, but not 3 months. 3 months, the only thing is still positive curve. But the 2 years, at, I'll call it 4.25, and the 5 years at 4. So they're all inverted relative to the 10-year. Let's see. I want to do some. Yeah, well, consumer spending was okay, up 0.3. But disposable income keeps falling. John Carney, inflation, very sticky. Core inflation actually creeping up in the report that came out yesterday. What do you make of that, John?
I think that this was a much worse than expected inflation report, not just because of core, but if you look at the things we've talked about before, median inflation is going up. I was just looking at the Dallas Fed's trimmed mean PCE inflation. This thing is rocketing higher. 12-month trimmed mean went from 4.5 to 4.7. The 1 month annualized went from 3.7 in July. So, you know, that was pretty low. It was much lower than we've been having, all the way up to 6% again. So this is, you know, really the underlying inflationary pressures. It's actually a lot like what David was just saying about stocks, where at first it was the stuff that, you know, had to go down, went down. The stuff that was easily repriced, we saw a lot of inflation there. Now we're seeing the inflation spread out to everything. And that's why we're seeing it in these average inflation numbers, where you get, whether it's median or trimmed mean. And that's really tell you that and the other thing we're seeing is it's moving over into services very quickly. So, and services inflation tends to be more persistent than goods inflation. So what this tells us is we're going to be stuck with high inflation for longer. And I think that's really what's hitting the stock market right now.
And John, that puts the pressure on the Fed. The Fed is going to be tougher probably than anybody thinks in the months ahead.
That's right. I think 50 basis points is off the table now for November. I think they're at least doing 75. This report, yesterday's report on PCE, I think sealed it. They're going to do in November 75 again. And if we get bad CPI numbers in the next couple of weeks, it may push them up to do 100. I know they don't want to do that, but they you know, we've had a series, you know, this is a really steep slope that they've gone up on the Fed funds rate. And yet it is really not showing any progress when it comes to core inflation.
Yeah. My view was always that they should have done hundreds, just get it out of the way, rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, you know, David Bunsen, you see the so-called market-based indicators, the leading indicators of inflation, are definitely coming down. It's a very clear trend. I watched the CRB futures. That's been making another leg down. Of course, the dollar is very, very strong. But the actual inflation reports, and look, the Fed institutionally has to deal with the actual inflation reports. So, you know, I think John Carney's got a point. The Fed's going to be tougher, and that's obviously not going to help stocks in the next bunch of months, Dave Bunsen.
Well, I think the other side of that is not necessarily a disagreement about the facts, but a disagreement about how it gets priced in markets. Because one could argue, and candidly, I pretty much agree with John Carney on most things, and you know I agree with you on virtually everything. But I think that is what's happened, is that the market, everything John just said is what the markets have been pricing. So now I think you end up with risk the other direction, because the worst case of Fed tightening may very well be priced in, and any hint of something not as tight as feared could become a rally catalyst. And I'll give you an example. I don't believe they're going to go forward with the violence of quantitative tightening that they've been projecting. I don't think they can. I don't think they have prepayments in mortgages. They're going to allow them to sell mortgage-backed securities at that level. And I don't think that the financial system can withstand the extraction of liquidity that they've said they'll do. On the Fed fund side, the only thing I'd say is if we think they're really taking their cues from PCE and CPI reports as opposed to just using those for cover, the problem is that rents and housing are coming down, even though it hasn't been reflected in the numbers yet. August had the first national decline of rents in years, but we don't see it in PCE for a couple months because of the lag effect.
So you think the just to clarify, you think the potential Fed tightening is now priced into stocks?
Or getting very close. I mean, if it isn't totally priced, it's far more priced than it was. It happened very quickly. This is a really new element in markets. They take bad news and price them in quickly. I mean, this was one of the worst months for stocks that most people will see in a career. And there wasn't really anything that catastrophic fundamentally. But I just think you get no buyers, all sellers, and they price in where the worst scenarios could go pretty quickly. And so, yeah, the Fed is going to get it higher than we all thought they would at one point. But there is a level at which everyone thinking that Powell is Volcker is going to be revealed to be untrue. He cannot handle a severe recession. He can't do it.
I know, and he won't get any support from the White House. John Carney, is there any whispering going on that you know of? And I'll ask this of both of you, so please weigh in, that the Fed is very concerned about disarray in the bond market with these large rate increases happening. Maybe I should add also the foreign exchange market, the British story. They're all beating up on Liz Truss for being a supply-sider. I think that's she's right and the critics are wrong. But, John, that the Fed might have some kind of emergency meeting, come out with statements about the bond market. Do you hear anything about that?
What I've heard is actually the biggest concern being over not necessarily what's going on in the U.S. bond market or in with the UK, that they're, you know, the Bank of England can basically handle what's happening there. But with emerging markets, they are, as weak as the dollar keeps strengthening and you can keep earning a higher and higher return with, you know, ultra safe assets, it is crushing already emerging markets on both sides. One, they can't sell anything. Who want, you know, who's going to buy a, you know, a risky sovereign debt when you can get U.S. debt and earn a real yield? And they, and a lot of countries that have dollar denominated debt are going to have a very hard time getting their hands on enough dollars as the dollar soars like it has.
You know, I was surprised to read the story this morning's Wall Street Journal, Lael Brainard, who's, you know, always on the left side, dovish side. But she came out and gave a talk, I don't know, yesterday, the day before, that was very tough, very restrictive, saying the Fed's going to stay the course. So it's Lael Brainard. Take it for what it's worth. David Bonson, I don't know if you've heard anything about emergency meeting by the Fed or emergency statements or worried about the bond market. But, David, let me add one other thing. I was quite surprised to see the GDP tracker from the Atlanta Fed ratcheted up from this is for the third quarter estimate. They were at 0.3%, call it flat. Now they're at 2.6%. And that's a big number for the third quarter. Kind of comes out of left field. I have not dug into it, but I wondered, you know, if you got a 2.5% quarter, I would say that would put even more pressure on the Fed for maybe all the wrong reasons, I'm saying, but that might even put more pressure on the Fed to be even tougher.
Well, of course, if they that would be if they erroneously believe, which I suspect they do, that economic growth is inflationary, which it is not.
Right.
It does not have to be. But here's the thing about that GDP number, and a lot of people politically won't like it, what I'm about to say. It's because the stuff that was giving the negative GDP before was kind of the weak sauce stuff, inventories and things like that. I'm a supply sider, as is one of the greatest living economists who is the host of this radio show, who taught me everything I know about supply side economics. And Larry, I care about non-residential fixed investment. Mm. That's the input to GDP I care about, business investment.
Yep.
That part didn't really go down that much. It wasn't up much either. It was kind of flattish in Q1 and Q2. Mm. The part Atlanta's looking at now is that the inventories are reversed because they're very volatile. But the consumer is still spending because the consumer is able to spend and inflation's up, so there's a little higher number in the spending. It's a business investment. That's the long-term number I care about. And quarter over quarter, when inventories pull you down, they can pull you back up. And that's what I think you're seeing.
Yeah, trade, too. I think another one of those swing factors. But you're right. Business investment should be the heart of it.
Yep.
All things production and manufacturing should be the heart of it. Actually, Mark Skousen tracks this GO, gross output, where he looks under the hood at the intermediate and early stages of process, business, basically business-to-business spending and investing, has held up. It has held up. And, you know, on the supply side of the economy, that's good. If only policies, you know, tax and regulatory policies would encourage that instead of discouraging it. But you guys are not hearing anything yet about some kind of emergency Fed meeting or Fed statement. Is that right? Either of you?
I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if John is, but what I'll say real quick is what John said before, this dollar liquidity shortage, it's the biggest story in the world economically. It's just almost impossible to talk about because it's very complicated. And it's not merely an emerging market story. It's fascinating. Emerging markets are down 27 and the S&P is down 25. Mm. Normally with Fed tightening, emerging markets should be down double what the S&P is. The dollar shortage is a major story worldwide.
So, John, you're
I've got a little bit of hopefulness I wanted to inject because we sound so dire.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was that, look, I was very down on the stock market until very recently. I thought we had priced in a lot of the thing, you know, the rate hikes, but we hadn't priced in the idea of a much slower growth or even a recession next year. But now it looks like we're pretty close to that. And historically, over the past 140 years, bear markets last 289 days. Huh. That would put us at October 19th, 2022. Huh. The 35th anniversary of Black Monday would be the end of the black market or the end of the bear market.
Wow. And you know,
there's hope.
And wait, and the election comes 10 days later and the cavalry's coming.
Indeed. So we could be setting up for, you know, something coming up. You know, of course, history is, you know, as we always say, right, past performance, you know, cannot predict future performance. But look, history, if it means anything, it would say, I mean, it would be wonderful poetry for the market to, you know, end the bear market on October 19th.
I love that. And I love the fact that I think Congress is going to change hands, and at least the bad stuff from all this left-wing progressivism might be stopped. So that's very cool. David, politics in the stock market, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, there is this little fact a lot of people in my business point out all the time. You know how many negative years we've had in the market in the third year of a presidential administration after the midterm?
Mm-hmm.
None. It hasn't happened.
Ah.
It's a pretty weird statistic. It's one of those kind of Joe DiMaggio records that doesn't ever seem to get broken. And a lot of it is generally believed to be because in the second year, you know, they do policies that they can have time to come back from. And in the third year, they have to start ramping up. This administration doesn't care about that. They're not going to do anything supply side. They're not going to deregulate. They're obviously not going to cut taxes. But is the Fed going to be done with all their tightening? You know, I've believed that for my whole career, that politics is second and monetary policy is first when it comes to markets. And both of those things are after earnings. Earnings are the mother's milk.
Yes.
And so that's the issue that we have to look at is have corporate earnings been adjusted downward enough yet? I don't think they necessarily have, but valuations have come down a lot.
All right. Profits are the mother's milk of stocks. We will watch the earnings reports in the weeks ahead. David Bonson, thank you. John Carney, thank you.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.